I'm ready. Good morning. Good
morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If everyone will come on in and have a seat, we'll get started. It's great to see everyone this morning on a beautiful Sunday. And right now we're going to recognize any first-time visitors this morning. Are there any first-time visitors in the section to my left here? Anyone here for the first time? How about in the middle section? Any first visitors? Yes. Thank you. Welcome for coming. Any other first-time visitors in the middle section? Any first-time visitors in the section to my right? Anyone at all? All right. Let us register our attendance. The pads are in your pews. If you would give us all your vitals and pass them down to your neighbor in the pew next to you there, and we'll make sure we get all the information to you of what's happening in the church. Right now, we're going to go to our announcements this morning. Are there any? Yes. Okay. Yes, Deb.
Okay. Kids Christ tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 years old through 3rd grade. Now, I'm going to kind of make a stretch for sweat. We may be doing some paint, so do not dress your child in something very fancy. Little more something else. It's going to be, if we paint, it will be washable paint, but I just want to make sure that they don't get in trouble.
So wear some old clothes.
Yeah.
All right. Any other announcements we need to have? Yes. Any other announcements this morning?
Sam and Nancy, Louise, Russell, Kim, Glasscock, from our congregation, plus 13 more people, I believe, plus 20 from Kentucky Wesleyan College in Owensboro, Kentucky, are all in Pensacola, Florida, working on somebody's house there. They're staying at the Methodist Church. And Nancy was going to cook for 17, and it ended up she's going to cook for 34, 37, and So pray for that group as they go. Charles Strosser is the grandfather of the fourth time. Is that right, Charles? Charles Moss Strosser the third. Chad's don't blame
Sarah.
Sarah. Chad and Sarah have a new baby boy born Tuesday.
Yep. And it's his birthday today too.
Charles.
Yeah.
Hi, happy birthday, Charles.
And his and Sarah's anniversary too.
Okay.
So he's got multiple things to celebrate.
Okay.
All right. Any other announcements? Yes.
The clinic panel is this week. If you volunteer, there are please continue because I have a piece of paper to advertise and the everything that you need. But start Thursday night at 7:30 and go until Saturday at noon. And we still need people to kind of help us clean up, and it's real easy to do on Saturday afternoon. If you want to see me after church, thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements? Anything else? As you've heard this morning, there's lots of things going on. We have a barbecue supper coming up soon. We have a consignment sale. There's lots of things going on. There's plenty of information in your bulletin. You can read over it there and try to help if you can. At this time, we're going to go to our prayer concerns. We have many, many folks on the prayer list. Do we have any updates? Anyone we need to add? Anyone that we need to take off? Prayers of praise? Any prayer concerns? Yes.
Yeah, I have a prayer concern. I don't know names of these particular people, but the lady bus driver was shot to death in West Tennessee. I have a co-worker whose sister and her family lived there, and his nephew was on that bus. So I would ask that you just pray for all those down there. God knows who they are, and God will take care of all of them.
Anyone else this morning? Any other prayer concerns?
Yeah. After Angela McCormick, she's our interim supervisor. She's been on the bed for a while. Her chemo stopped working and they called her positive.
Wow.
Yes. Madeline Porter died last night. Do you remember her name?
Okay.
Madeline Porter, that's Linda Moses' mom.
Okay. Anyone else this morning? Anyone we need to remember?
Man, I can't help but feel compelled to make a Touch the Future program in our prayer room. We've had a rather limited turnout lately. I'm concerned that this congregation wants those few people making decisions for the entire congregation. At least please pray for it. If you can come on Wednesday night, please come. This is a very excellent program that our denomination is undertaking. I think we're as closely related to the First Century Church as any denomination out there, maybe more so in this program. I hope it's not apathy. I hope it's confidence that the less than 2 dozen people who showed up are capable of making all the decisions for the future of this church. But
would
ask that people come
if
they can
and pray. Okay. Anyone else this morning? Yes.
I'm sorry? I'm sorry. Okay. You especially tell me this son is mother father over.
Wow. Anyone else? There have been several that have been added this morning, and I asked the ones who have added if you would put the correct spelling on the card in the pew in front of you and drop it in the collection plate when it passes in front of you. That way we get the correct spelling. And for all of these that have been added, the ones that are on there, continue to pray for them every day. And let us now pause for a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves for worship. Amen. Amen. now time for our call to worship. It is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. It is responsive. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Would everyone please stand and turn to page 101, or turn to page 101 and then stand. And we'll sing this through twice.
Attributed to Jesus. Do you have one that you said, oh, yes. He's also, his name is Wonderful. He is Rock of Ages. Would you speak one forth right now?
Light of the world. Omnipotent.
Teacher.
Thank you.
Great lover of
life. Lord. Holy and righteous God, you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Yes, His name is Wonderful. So wonderful. Thank you for sending Him. Thank you, Lord, that we have so many ways to refer to Jesus. We especially thank you that He is our Savior. That He is Lord. We come this morning to worship Him as Lord. So move in each of us that truly we will glorify Your name through Christ Jesus. And now we pray like He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We now express our faith in God with our statement of faith. It is the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal and also is on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To 213, Because He Lives.
Good morning.
Children's time this morning. If the boys and girls will come on down here, and if you will stay in the sanctuary, because it is Communion Sunday and there will be no children's church. But if you'll come on down, and Mr. John's going to teach you.
I might not be good looking, but I got an excuse for it. I've been here long. And I can't sit on the floor like you can either. You know, I keep saying that sometime along the line I'm going to say no to that child, but I can't say no. There's just no way. Can I sit right here somewhere where I can do that? Man, I look at all these handsome folks. You know, when Andrew called me, she and Mr. Adam are going to the Fourth Avenue Church of Christ today, and they're honoring all the police officers, the firemen, all the people that are in the safety business. So she felt that she needed to be there. I told her that that's it for the chief. So I guess she watched and the chief called her. So I got to thinking about what I said to you. And it's just hard to think about gifts without thinking about talents. You know, we are all blessed with so many talents. Some of us can sing, some of us can talk, some of us can make people laugh, some of us can visit grandparents and make them happy. But then I got to looking further, and I found in Scripture that at least 18 places where God has given us gifts, in addition to what we call talents. And we have accepted to use our talents, of course, to sing and praise God and do all those things. But anyway, I'm going to just hear up the things that God has given us. He takes care of our physical being, our needs. Okay? He gives us food. I won't bore you with what's found in the Bible, so he finds rain, health, sleep. And you ever find sleep being God's gift? You will as you get older. Health, sleep, rest, and all things and all needs. Now that takes care of us physically, you know, but the beauty part of it, I turned all over further here and I found the list of spiritual gifts. And you know, some of us have special spiritual gifts. And one of them is Christ himself. Christ is a gift to us. And the second one here would be the Holy Spirit. That's where Christ went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit back down so that we could be guided by his love and by his wishes and so on. That's the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, grace. I just love to see people who you can just see grace oozing out. You know? Just so gracious. Love it. And then, wisdom. We know we're going to be smart by the time this year is over. I hope you are. Tell you a funny story. My little 3-year-old granddaughter was driving me one day. I left the argument. And so I was picking up arguments with her and I was taking her home. And I said, you know, these times bothering you all. She said, you're lying. So she argued with me. Every time we went about $5, she kept telling me how smart she was. And I said, well, I tell you what, I am smarter than you because I've been here long. And she said, well, I knew you that. So as we get older, we get more wisdom, right? Okay. The time goes on. Repentance, and that's when you're sorry.
but in the end, what is just a contraction? A lot of them just contractions, don't they?
And then we have faith. That's due to faith. We all have some faith, don't we? We wouldn't have come here this morning trying to learn more about that, would we? That's why we're here, just to learn more, so we can have more faith. And then a new mind. You see, you're supposed to be a new person. When you come to Jesus, you just do about faith, and you're a new person, you have a new heart, and you just love everybody, right? Love everybody. And then peace. All that nothing like having peace and tranquility in the home, in the church, in the community. And we have real peace and peaceful times as a nation. But we get what we're going to get out of this, but we're going to. Alright, and then that's a grace again. See, grace is important. It's just in life. And then glory and eternal life. Now, what I would say to you, children, and everybody else, is praise God every day and thank Him for all the wonderful, wonderful gifts that He has bestowed upon each of us. Okay? Thank you. Put that in your hand.
As the children and Mr. John are returning to their pew, I call your attention to the gospel lesson concerning the Lord's Supper. The scripture lesson for our sermon this morning is from 1 Corinthians, the letters, and we could find the communion service described or instructions concerning in 1 Corinthians also, but let's go back to the life of Jesus according to Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. and hear these words. While they were eating, they ate in the New Testament. So to introduce this passage, they were eating the Passover, the last Passover meal that Jesus would eat with the disciples before His crucifixion. Passover. Why did they eat the Passover? That was an annual time of remembrance. God saving the ancestors of these who were gathered with Jesus. Good, faithful Israelites, Hebrews, Jews, call them what you like. Both, all three are appropriate. They remembered God freeing them from the Egyptian bondage. And it was through the blood of the Lamb that was killed and smeared on the door, over the door, beside the door of the house. And when the angel of death, remember the plagues in the Exodus, the angel of death, the last plague, he would come and he would see the blood over the door and he would pass over that house, would not take the life of the firstborn of that family. And they remembered how the blood of the Lamb smeared over the door had saved them. So they celebrated this Passover each year. And Jesus met with His disciples to celebrate the Passover, the last one that He would celebrate with them before He was crucified, as I said. And in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." The active elders present this morning will come forward. I think we have four or six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then, Mary Beth, will you come and assist? John, will you come and assist? Okay? John, okay? Does that make 8? Thank you. You've heard the words where Jesus instituted the supper. Now, who is welcome at the Lord's table? All who trust in Jesus as their Lord and trying to serve Him as their Savior. We're not perfect. We may not feel worthy, but Jesus invites us. This is the way we remember. We relive His sacrifice for us through the bread and through the cup. The bread. We've probably eaten bread already today. We'll probably eat some more bread before the day is over. Most every day, we eat bread in some fashion. Jesus took bread. Something that people were familiar with, something people could relate to, something that people had at their disposal. A common element, but He gave it holy meaning. And He took the bread and said, "This bread, this is My body." And He broke the bread and offered a prayer and asked the people gathered with Him to eat it. All of them to eat of it. And remember His sacrifice. See, His sacrifice hadn't come at that time. But the next day it did come. This was Thursday night, as we understand it, before Good Friday. So, Lord, we pray that You will bless this bread. We know it's a common element, but it has holy significance. So, Lord, we pray that you would use it to speak to us, not only to remember, but just to be an inspiration to Christ Jesus. Please eat, remembering his death for you, and would you serve your neighbor? The cup. Matthew's account calls it the fruit of the vine. Crimson, like shed blood. Jesus said that this was his blood shed for the remission of sin. He shed it that we might know forgiveness. We put our faith in him. And he gives us that faith. Mr. John mentioned that. He gives us that faith. That's a gift to believe, to trust. Lord God, bless this cup. Thank you for it. Thank you for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We reaffirm our faith, our belief, our trust. And we have from this cup our salvation reaffirmed. Thank you. Through Christ we pray. Remember his blood shed for you. And please serve your neighbor. Will you eat and drink, remembering the Lord's death? And in one place he says, until he comes. He hasn't come back yet, as he promised, but he will. So let's eat and drink, waiting for him to come. You notice we'll sing, I think it's 202, immediately. Let's sing the verses that have the little arrow by them. Thinking about the amazing grace of God that's revealed to us in these elements.
Now for the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If the ushers would please come forward. Thank you.
and pride. A sinking soul swimming in the tears you've cried. Alone and hopeless, without a word to say. The guilt has taken it all away.
This morning, Brother John told the children about our talents, our gifts, and then, of course, Brother Larry talked about the body of Christ, and our scripture lesson kind of covers both of those this morning. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's printed in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bible. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. Another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear would to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in one body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire in the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. For the word of God, for the people of God. Praise be to God.
We know that that most excellent way is the way of love. We find in the 13th chapter. We have lunch being prepared. How long do I have? My watch didn't even line up early with Rhett's watch, but I'm going by his. Surprise, surprise. I want to talk this morning about things that we have that we don't use. Things that we have that we don't use. Is there anything that you have that you don't use? Well, let me show you something. You know what this is? If you got a handout this morning, you could probably see it's tea. Susan went to Europe as a high school student. Susan is 29 years old. She brought us back from Europe some tea. Guess what? That tea has been sitting on our counter all of this time. I'm sure she walked by and says, "Aren't they ever going to drink my tea?" You know, we've been saving it. So it's an attractive container, but it's useless. That tea is useless. You know why? Because we haven't used it. Okay? Right? So it's useless. So we'll set that back there. And we had another thing that happened the other day. Carol's sister, I think it was, went up in the Ozarks, where they were from, and they found some fine sorghum syrup. You know, that's been on our counter for how long? I don't know. How long, Carol?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. A little bit, one time. And it was, it is. It says fine, and it is fine sorghum. But it's useless. I'm not using it. I like it. We could even mix it with something and make some cookies, and sorghum cookies are some of the best. My goodness, I love them. Mr. Bennett's not here, so I feel safe doing this. But somebody brought us a set of pies. Remember when Mr. Bennett was having the sharp knives in the children's store, John, when you were out that day? He had those children jumping back. I brought sharp knives. I don't know where these came from. Some of you may have given to us. We don't know. They're around the counter. They're steak knives. Guess what? We don't eat steak at home. We go out if we want to eat steak. Okay? We could eat steak at home, but I won't grill, so we have to go out to eat. Okay? That's three things. And look at this one. This is from Susan and Jamie. They brought us something that, wow. We should have been drinking that, shouldn't we? Preacher's kid, bring them home wine? No. It's only grape juice. But that is Biltmore Estate Concord grape juice. How long has that been there?
3 years.
3 years. As far as we're concerned, that stuff is useless. But I like grape juice. Why have the bottle was so pretty we didn't want to mess it up. It's a good decoration. But these four things illustrate something in our house. Something in our house that's not being used. So what good is it? Maybe that grape juice is aging and it will become something I can serve to the elders. We'll have an elders meeting maybe with that. Whatever. Oh my goodness. Your garage. Your attic. What's there? What, on your kitchen counter. I found all of these in our kitchen. Then looked to another room. There's some more stuff I almost brought, and I said that would be enough. Spiritual matters, though. I can relate this to spiritual matters. Do we have spiritual gifts? These were gifts. I guess 1, 2, 3, 4, all of these were gifts. That fits. Do you have spiritual gifts that God has given us that we are not using? They're sitting around on the counter, or they're hid somewhere down in the inner recesses of our life. They're put away for safekeeping. Like that stuff in our house, our cedar chest. Our Carol cedar chest, because she put all the stuff in there. I want to challenge you today, if you'll hang with me, you who are a congregation of God's people, right? You who have been endowed with gifts from God. Scriptures say when we become a Christian, when we trust Jesus, He gives us some gifts, or gifts. Gifts that are to be used for building up the kingdom. And I hope to challenge you again to use more of these gifts. Now, I realize that some people are using their gifts. Okay? And I realize that some of us have some gifts that we haven't used. We may be using some, but we have others that we could use. And probably some, I don't want to judge, but probably some just ain't using any. Or not using any. I put emphasis on using our spiritual gifts, other than using what we have. I put emphasis on using what we have. Using what God has given us. You know, there's not much distinction in the quality. I believe where he says, first of all, he gave apostles. I can even interpret that, maybe rightly so, is to say preachers have to number things sometimes. 1, 1, 2, 3. He gave us number 1, apostles number 2. The preceding verses, talking about the physical body, where he relates that to the spiritual gifts in the church, all are important. I mentioned in the first service, do we have a nurse here? An active, somewhat active nurse? Pam was here. Pam Camus was here this morning, and I saw her, and I thought of that appendix. We don't know what it's for, but everybody's got one. Every once in a while, they have to take one out. How many had to have it removed? You know, it may be the appendix is no more use than to provide a doctor a little income when nothing else is going on. I don't know. Or maybe it's too umbilous when it starts paining us. And you who have had appendicitis and, quote, appendectomy. Boy, those are big words. Huh? Using what we have. The Apostle Peter. We read from Paul, but let's think of what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one of us, I got biblical basis for what I'm challenging you to this morning. Each one of us should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So let me inject that when we use the gift that God has given us, we are administering or we are sharing or spreading around the grace of God. We're being agents of God in using these gifts. Use whatever it is that you have. As long as there is one person still out of the kingdom. As long as there is one person who does not know Jesus as their Savior Lord. As there is one unsaved person. That's one way to put it. One person separated from God. Alienated from God, there's a need to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us, or if it may be one gift, to get those people inside the kingdom. Inside the kingdom. And I purposely don't use the phrase, the word church, but I could. I believe that people in the, quote, true church, or the real church, the invisible church, all believers are part of God's church. So we need to use it to get them inside the church. But local church membership doesn't prove that we're members of the kingdom of God. Faith in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, that's membership into the kingdom. Paul lists some of the gifts that I'm talking about, verse 8 and 10. And again in verse 28 through 30, there are others in Ephesians. I think it's chapter 4. All of these are said to be for the building up of the church. Romans chapter 12 especially, but other places. 1 Peter, we have some gifts there that Peter talks about. Spiritual gifts, to identify them or to define them, one definition is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, to every member of the body of Christ, according to God's grace, for use within the body. For use within the body. Why gifts? Peter Wagner wrote a book. I've had a copy for a long time, been using it, preached through it, talking about the, he lists 27 gifts. He says, knowing and developing and using our gifts enable us to be better Christians. Knowing what our gift is, we are more open to allowing God to work through us. Knowing and using our gifts helps the church. And that's what Paul said in the letter to the Ephesians. He lists a bunch of gifts, preachers, teachers, pastors, etc., etc., for the building up of the church. He says we need to use them for that. And using our spiritual gifts glorify God. He has given them to us, and we need to use them for His glory and His honor. And 1 Peter 4:11 speaks of us glorifying God. And the question comes, could anything be better than bringing glory to God? That's the highest thing we can do. Anything else we can do is under that. That's the number one thing. That's our chief purpose, our chief end. Making $1 million, that might be good to make your parents happy, but glorifying God is better than that. Or whatever. Or 10 million. Now, in the book of Corinthians, that's what we read from, the Corinthians used the gifts to divide them. And I can almost hear them now. One says, I've got a better gift than you've got. My gift's greater than your gift. And they'd go on and they would compare gifts. And Paul says there should be no division, that all the gifts are equally important. And he uses the physical body. He says there's part of the body that we keep covered up. But that part is still important, or those parts are still important. They're part of the body that don't need to be covered up. But they're no more important than the parts that need to be covered up. You heard that read. It's right there before you. Even as Red was reading. You did read, didn't you, Red? Yeah. I forgot. We see what he says about the use of these. Then he says, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So he's talking about the physical body, but he's relating it to the body of Christ, the church, with Christ as the head. Okay, sometime, and I learned this during Sunday school hour. I learned sometimes that gifts can kind of cause us a little frustration. Well, Ms. Wagner, she knows that her gift is hospitality. Amen. I really believe that.
Amen.
And she gave me permission to use that. Becky, did you give me permission to use your situation? Becky used her talent. It may be more of a talent. She went out and made some potato soup with something in it, but she brought it to the kitchen this morning. Do you have that outfit on, or did you change?
No, I've still got it on.
Okay. It's dried out now. Becky, now sometimes it brings us some grief if we use our gifts. And I can think about, even somebody has the gift of healing. Jesus used the gift of healing and it brought him some grief. They challenged him. Why would you heal on Sunday, on the Sabbath? That's what they were talking about, what we'd relate to the Sunday. So it brought Jesus some grief, even to heal some people. And then they said to the man that God healed, why are you carrying your bed on Sunday? Sometimes the gifts can bring you grief. And Becky made this soup, and what'd you do? It spilled on her. And she was so embarrassed. But Becky, it's okay. It's okay. We're glad you brought the soup. We're going to enjoy it. She didn't spill it all because I checked. So I said, Becky, she was embarrassed. I said, you giving me an illustration. Can I use that in church? So she gave me permission. I don't think I embarrassed you, did I? Even here. Okay. She was a little embarrassed to start with. But I say, we can use our talent for God's kingdom to help the youth of Columbia Presbytery go and work at the children's home. That's an honorable thing to do, I think. Hope it is. We've done it before. They're going to do it again. She was trying to help out, but it brought her a little grief. She'll have to have that dress clean. Y'all may want to get her dress clean for her or something like that. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 25. A portion of that is about using talents or not using talents. You remember this parable of the talents? The talents were given. One man had three servants. He gave one 5 talents. He gave one 2 talents, and he gave one talent. And that could be a sum of money, but it could also be related to spiritual gifts. Okay? God has given us different gifts. The man that got 5 talents, the man went off and said, I'm going to go off and leave you in charge of these. When I come back, we'll have a settling up. God has given us talents. He's gone off, but his son Jesus has said he'll come back, right? We'll have a settling up. There'll be a judgment day. Not only for the bad, but the good that didn't use what good they had, possibly. Okay, the man went off, and the man, when he came back, he said, okay, it's settled up day. And the man with 5 talents, he came in, he said, man, I've invested your 5 talents, master, and I've got 5 more. And the master patted him on the back and put him in charge of much. The man with 2 talents, he came in and he says, I invested and here it is. How great I've done. And the guy said, yes, you did great. You did great. You did great. Here, enjoy life. It's the man that had only 1 talent. Maybe it was lack of drive that he didn't have. Maybe he missed out on that or something. He says, I knew that you were a hard master and you'd be mad at me if I lost the money. So I took your talent and wrapped it in a napkin and buried it in the ground. Said, here it is. Here it is. And what did the master say? I'm going to take it away from you, you slothful servant. He took it away and gave it to the one who had 10. And he says, read it, Matthew chapter 25. Says, and you're going to be cast out. And out there where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, you know, that's a challenge. It's a negative thought to end the sermon on. But I hope it's a challenge. If nothing else will challenge us non-users of our gifts, maybe that will, to say, I don't want to be out weeping and gnashing my teeth. And Jesus said that's what heaven is like. Verse 1 of Matthew 25 and verse 4. Old sick woman. She was 55 before she became a Christian. She couldn't read. She went to school to learn how to read. Because being a Christian, she knew that she should read the Bible. So she learned to read. She became crippled in her 70s. Wheelchair, rocking chair. Couldn't get around much, but she could read her Bible and she could pray. And Jack Arnold, another preacher, wrote a little story about her and said her gift was the gift of faith. That God blessed her with the gift of faith. She couldn't do much. She was an old lady, uneducated, crippled. She could sit in her rocking chair, though. And Jack Arnold told that she would sit in her rocking chair and rock and pray. There's a lot of need out there in the world. Maybe cars going up and down the road. Maybe people in airplanes flying over her house. That wasn't in there, but I can think of all that. She could rock and she could pray. And we find trouble finding time to pray. Just a short period of time, I do. I have to say, Larry, you've got to go stop and pray now. Well, she was praying from 6 to 10 hours a day. She was exercising her gift of faith. And she had situation after situation after situation that she knew that God had answered her prayers. So, what is your talent? Another woman, same preacher told the same story about another woman. She didn't have any money. She was so stingy, so it looked like. She'd take her own wheat to the mill and have it ground, keep from going and buying already ground wheat. She wouldn't drive much because she didn't want to burn up the gas or use the gasoline. So she'd just go every once in a while. And to the neighbors, she looked like a stingy old lady. But she was a great giver to the church. She had the gift of giving. The gift of giving. And Jack said, but he was her pastor. He kept up with it. I don't. But he knew that she gave a lot more, being a poor old lady, than some of the richer people in the church. She had the gift of giving and she exercised it. Now, what is your gift? One of my failures is I fail to help you discover your gift. We've talked a great deal this year already about spiritual gifts. And I can't help it. Somebody will come and say, help me find my gifts. I've got some tests. Kind of like those old IQ tests we used to take back in school, or some are still taking. The gifts. Using what we have. That's the challenge. And I hope we'll do it. They're gifts from God. They're gifts from God to be used for His kingdom. I think it's 272. And let's sing the first verse of 272. It's about using our gifts. The song says, living for Jesus. It's about using our gifts for Jesus and His kingdom. The first verse, stand together. Let's sing. Your gifts. Amen.